Good evening. We are broadcasting our messages tonight from Perth, Australia. It's about 3:30 here as you listen in our country where we are at the moment. We are drawing near to the end of our trip and have been visiting Philip and Michelle and family. We have attended the wedding of Abigail, our oldest granddaughter, to Ray, her husband, spent time with our oldest great-granddaughter, Eva, with our second oldest granddaughter, Kezia, married to Ben. Sounds complicated, doesn't it? Met our new great-grandson, Malachi. Due to COVID restrictions in Western Australia and Storm Eunice in the UK, it took us 3.5 days travelling via Darwin and Sydney to arrive here. We spent the first 7 days in isolation at our grandson's condo, Jake and Ethan, and were visited by the police to check we were following the rules. Well, you now have a complete update on our Australian visit. Although we are some 7,600 miles from Ukraine, we want to acknowledge the suffering of the people in that country and the many men and women that are also suffering in Russia. Our pre-planned subject of two kinds of people in the world highlights the battle that rages between good and evil. Writing his letter to the Roman Church, Paul says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." In World War II, Winston Churchill organized a group of people to stop whatever they were doing at a certain time each day to pray. This happened every day, and it was as if the world stood still. The result was so overwhelming that the bombing was stopped after a short time. The church has again been encouraged to pray at 3 p.m. UK time for peace. Let's do this again. In the Gospels of Matthew, Mark and Luke, there are 55 parables Jesus used extensively in his three-year teaching ministry. He told the interesting stories about everyday life which caught the attention of those who heard his messages. Many of them reveal the truth that there are only two kinds of people who live in this world. Francis is going to read two of these parables, and then we shall pray.
The first one is taken from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 37. "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us.' Then he said, 'I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment.' Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. And then in Luke 18, verses 10 to 14, we read, Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
We're going to pray now. Father, we worship you tonight for your unchanging nature that is determined to bring all of us into a deeper and more personal relationship with you. Help us tonight to understand the truth revealed in Scripture and give us courage to align our lives to what you want to impart to everyone in our hearts. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The spiritual, practical, physical or financial person of any of us is unimportant. What is important is our relationship with God. We want you to consider with us tonight, one, these two kinds of people we see revealed in the Scriptures. Secondly, two kinds of nature these two people reveal. Thirdly, the two kinds of future awaiting these people. And fourthly, the two kinds of choices we will all make sometime in our life, which will determine our eternal future with the Lord. Firstly then, the two kinds of people. In the parables of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, it makes it clear that our life on this earth and our entrance into eternity is shown as the path we are on and the door we enter. Jesus said this in Matthew 7:13, Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. As Christians, we discover that from our natural birth, we are on that broad way. Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan, begins with a man named Christian, who lives in the city of destruction, having a dreamlike vision of a man dressed in rags, who is facing away from his home. In one hand, the man carries a book, the Bible, while on his back he carries a great burden, the sins. Christian interprets this vision as a symbol for his own life and resolves to leave behind the city of destruction. He meets a man named Evangelist who points Christian's way to the celestial city. Setting out on his quest for this destination, Christian is pursued by two neighbours, Obstinate and Pliable. The former turns back, but Pliable catches up with Christian, and the two of them get caught in a mire called the Slough of Despond. While Pliable manages to free himself, Christian requires the assistance of a figure known aptly as Help, who frees him. A number of figures sent to tempt Christian now approach him. Mr. Worldly Wise Man tells him to leave his journey to the Celestial City, as it isn't necessary. Mr. Legality and Mr. Civility promise to consolidate all of his sins into one handy burden, which he can then write off. Christian is saved from these figures by the reappearance of Evangelist. Reaching a gate on which are written the words, "Knock, and it shall be opened to you," Christian is treated to a vision of the Day of Judgment, which terrifies him. Next, he sees the cross of Christ, and the burden on his back, representing his sins, falls off. He eventually, after encountering sloth, hypocrisy, and other figures, reaches House Beautiful, where he's given a sword and a shield by the maidens, Charity, Prudence, Piety, and Discretion. From House Beautiful, we can see the Delectable Mountains. Once he reaches them, he will be able to see his destruction, destination, the Celestial City. Many trials follow on the way, which you can read if you turn into John Bunyan's book. In his letter to the Ephesian church, the Apostle Paul says in chapter 4, verses 21 to 24, "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." When Jesus spoke to the leaders of his day, he was aware that being religious was no substitute for reality. You may remember in John's Gospel, he speaks quite harshly to them, and it says in chapter 8, verses 31 to 44, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say, 'I will be made free'?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." Jesus answered, they answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do your deeds of your father." They said to him, "We're not born of fornication. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own resources, for he is a liar and father of it."
Then secondly, the Bible teaches only two kinds of nature. We must consider which one we are. We can review our lives this last week. Let's return to the parables of Jesus in Matthew, here in chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. The Lord says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you'll know them. And again in Matthew 12, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. Matthew 15, verse 17. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man? For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Good fruit or bad fruit? Here's the challenge. What am I like in my home, in my relationships? What comes out of my heart when I'm under pressure, out of my mouth when I am crossed or upset? In Paul's letter to the Galatian church, he clearly reveals these two natures, one of the flesh, the other of the spirit. He says in Galatians 5:16-25, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, self-ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We'll not inherit the kingdom of God. To not inherit the kingdom of God is strong language.
Thirdly then, according to the ministry of Jesus, there are only two places we can eternally go. When we come to the end of our lives, one is heaven and the other is hell. This is the conclusion of the parable of the rich man and Lazarus Francis read earlier. Here is Jesus revealing the last days recorded for us in Matthew 25. Verses 31-46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, insomuch as you did it to the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you thirsty, or hungry, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, insomuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.
And fourthly, as far as eternal life is concerned, there are only two choices that every one of us will make. We must decide before we stand before God. Here in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul records in chapter 6, verses 16 to 23, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that, though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Perhaps the biggest choice ever made was in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent, the devil himself, said, has God said? Genesis 3, 1-9 records, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig trees together, made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They had, of course, made a decision that had an eternal impact on their own lives and the lives of every man and woman, that followed only to be resolved by the second man, Jesus, as Paul reveals in 1 Corinthians 15. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15, 45-49. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Here in Romans 5:18-19, Paul says, therefore, as though one man's offence, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous.
In the days of Elijah, the people of God were following the wicked ways of Ahab and Jezebel, his wife, in the worship of Baal. Redden's Daily Effect describes the worship of Baal and this particular encounter like this. Doubtless the best known story of a rivalry between the devotees of Baal and God of Israel is found in the Hebrew Bible in 1 Kings 18. In this story, the priests of Baal are in favour of the queen of Israel, Jezebel, and her henpecked Hebrew husband, King Ahab. The Hebrew prophet challenges the priests of Baal to a contest on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18:21. And he comes to all the people and says, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. The Message Bible puts it like this. Elijah challenged the people, how long are you going to sit on the fence? If God is the real God, follow him. If it's Baal, follow him. Make up your minds. In this event, the prophet Elijah calls on the people of Israel to watch as he invites the priests of Baal to build an altar of sacrifice, a pile of dry wood and bull flesh, to their God, and call on Baal to set the lot on fire from heaven. They prepare the altar and call on their God, and nothing happens. Elijah builds a similar altar and douses it with a great deal of water and calls on the Hebrew God, who sends fire from heaven in answer to his more orthodox prayers. The Hebrew God, we read, answers the prayers and sends fire from heaven to consume the offering. At this, the people of Israel support Elijah and assist him in slaughtering the many priests of Baal. Clearly, there was not a lot of love lost between these two faiths. In the ministry of the Lord Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, He says no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The Amplified Bible adds these words: money, possessions, fame, status, or whatever is valued more than the Lord. The parable of the lost son reveals the heartache of God directed to every man, woman, or young person or child that is lost. The Father, our Heavenly Father, is praying, longing, watching for his son to return. The scriptures reveal the scene, starting from the one separated from his father. Here in the pigsty, he comes to himself and he says, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Well, our question tonight is quite simple. Have you decided on your eternity? You remember Jesus made this statement to his disciples during his ministry: "Will you go away also?" Peter replies, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Well, we've looked at these two people, we've looked at these two natures, we've looked at these two heart conditions, two ways in which to live our lives. I wonder where you are tonight as you hear these scriptures recorded again. Maybe you've gone away. Maybe you are living in another place. Once you were there in relationship with the Lord, but now you seem to have lost it. Maybe COVID has made a big impact upon your life and church hasn't been there always, and sin has entered in, things have happened to you. Well, our prayer tonight as we bring this message to you is to bring you to the place that there's only two things you can do: either to live in the way that you're living or give your life to Jesus Christ tonight and let him be your future. Let him be the person who will lead you and guide you in all the fullness of life eternal. Let's pray. Father, we do pray tonight that you'll bring us into an understanding of this great heart of yours. As we remember at Easter, you gave your life a ransom to win us to yourself. We pray tonight, Lord, that many people will turn around from the broad way and get onto the narrow way. We'll leave the broad gate for the narrow gate. We'll lead the life that they're living of fruitlessness for fruitfulness, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.